There's no reason why that couldn't be your story.
You don't have an expiration date.
Oh, I love that.
They're actual pages. All that matters at the end of the day.
This is the Authors and Agents Podcast. Caitlin, thank you so much for joining me today. I'm super excited to have you on and to pick your literary agent brain. So first off, start by telling me what drew you to publishing and being a literary agent.
Definitely. So I originally really wanted to become an editor. I've always been a word nerd, been the English person. So I was going to school to basically do publishing and editing and all that kind of stuff. And then I did an internship with a literary agency and kind of realized after a point that it just was the best of both worlds, kind of. I got to work one-on-one with authors where I loved their books and I got to pick their books and just really be part of the brainstorming element. Whereas as an editor, it's not always that cut and dry. Sometimes you get assigned stuff. Sometimes you're just kind of in your little cubicle having to like do your little things. So I really just loved literary agenting for that flexibility where I got to be an editor, I got to be nerdy, but I also got to be finding new stories that I really loved and that I thought should be out there. So that's really what drew me. And obviously for publishing, it's just because I was, as most of us were, that kid who just had their nose in a book constantly and it was just natural calling.
Yeah. That's awesome. I'm glad that you found, you know, the best of both worlds, because it is nice to, from a writer's perspective, to have, you know, kind of more of an editorial literary agent. I'm sure your list loves that about you too.
Yeah, they like it until they see all the red on their paper.
Right. They like it until you've really done a number on it. And then they're like, wait, can we reel it back in?
Exactly.
Well, Caitlin, tell me, what is a big misconception that people or querying authors have about what you do as a literary agent?
I feel like everyday people who aren't part of the writing sphere, they definitely misunderstand what it means to be a literary agent, because they think, you know, you pick people up and then they're just like, publishing, there, it's out, it's done.
Right.
And it's like, no, it's, I always tell them it's kind of like celebrities where they have like, way before they make it big anyway, where they have an agent who like gets them the audition. And it's up to the author or it's up to the celeb or whatever to get the job, but the agent opens the doors. So I feel like that's a big misconception in that. And getting an agent doesn't mean you're going to be published. It just means you're that much closer. And I think some querying authors and stuff, they also have that misconception. But I think a big thing for writers, especially with agents, is they assume this agent will be their forever agent. They just think it's going to be somebody who will be with them through every single book. And that's definitely not the case, because either, you know, the agent's list changes or they don't stay in the industry, or the author grows and wants different things for their career or starts writing things the agent doesn't specialize in. Like, there's so many different things that could happen. So I think that's one of the big things that authors should be prepared for, is just because you have an agent doesn't mean it will always be the same agent all the time.
Yeah, I think that's a very good thing to remember. I think on the sphere of people who are outside of the publishing world, I think a lot of people don't even know literary agents exist.
They don't.
You know, as a writer, and I had a friend who, she was like, so what do you do now? She had read one of my finished manuscripts because I knew she'd love it, and then she was like, so what do you do now, like, what's the process? And I was trying to explain it, and her mind like exploded a little bit. Like, people don't really, you know, understand, which they don't need to. I mean, there's so much that goes into it. But yeah, I think it's a good reminder for authors as they transition into that querying mode to realize the business side of it, right? And I've seen lots of friends who had an agent, or, you know, and went out on sub, things didn't sell and they parted ways and had to start over. And it's definitely a good thing to keep in the back of your mind, because that is just part of the industry, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's a part we all hate. But, and I have a bunch of clients who, like, maybe they didn't get that first book published, but they got their second book or their third book published. Like, it's not always going to be book one, because you grow and you get better as a writer. You start getting that editorial process. So now you know how to edit yourself. Like, it's such a longer process than just that one book.
It is. It is. And I think a lot of times writers feel in the querying process, at least from my perspective as a writer who felt this at one time, and, you know, talking to others, you feel like, oh, if I'm going to get a literary agent and I have made it, everything is going to be cake from here. It's like, no, there's so many more things after.
The ladder's a lot higher than you think.
Yes, it is. Unfortunately, it's a little too far to see. So, Caitlin, what's the hardest part about your job?
I think the rejection's the hardest. Like, not just for us, but also, like, bearing the rejection for your clients. Because, like, when authors are querying, obviously, they're getting rejections constantly, or they're getting some love, but not quite ones. And then when you get to the editing of sending it to an editor, you don't realize you're going to get the same exact thing. But also the agent's getting it. So it's like my client was rejected, but I was also rejected. And then we also get the, I loved it, but I didn't love it. And you're just like, but why? Like, I can fix this. Let's do this. If you loved it that much, let's still publish it. Let's just do it. So the rejection is definitely the hardest part, I feel like. And the also the moments where you have to reject your own client. Like if you read something they worked on and you're like, this is just not where it needs to be, it's not strong enough, or I don't think it's marketable. And you don't want to have those discussions with your clients. And those are some of the hardest ones I feel like I've had to have with some of my writers, in that I had to say no to them, and that is awful. And then the rejection of offering to a writer and they pick some other agent, and you have to like kind of like be heartbroken quietly about it. Like, I mean, we don't, most of us anyway, we don't really take that personally, because if we loved it, we're gonna love it when it's on the shelf through some other agent. And I'm personally, if I loved it, I'm gonna go buy it when it comes out and see what happened to it, like see where it went. But like, there's so many forms of rejection in this industry, and writers already understand that. So I think that's the hardest part, because it doesn't stop once you get the agent or anything, and then the agents are dealing with it from like five different angles. So it's a lot.
That is. That's a lot of rejection. And you know, as you were talking before, you love being able to work one-on-one with your clients and these stories that they then you fall in love with, too. And you feel like, you know, you've helped to create. So, of course, it's just as heartbreaking to be like, wait, no, why can't we keep going?
Yeah, I'm like, no, I've made this author feel loved, feel like it's so good, feel amazing. And then nobody's buying it. I'm like, why? I don't get it either, writers. I don't get it either.
Yeah, we're all just sitting there trying to understand. Well, on the flip side, what is your most favorite thing? What do you love the most about your job?
The stories are so much fun. Like, being the first people to see something as it's being formed. And, like, I love brainstorming with my clients. Like, if they're writing something and they're kind of stuck, I'll get on a video chat with them and we'll just throw things at the wall, whether it's outrageous or not. And we'll be, like, talking it through. Because for me, like, if I talk, the more I talk, the more the pieces start falling together. So I'll, like, say something really stupid and be like, no, forget that. Let's just keep going. And we'll just back and forth. And for me, that's so much fun, just that creative process. And even when it's just, like, pitch form, where they send me a pitch saying, like, I have an idea for a story, but I don't really have anything. And then we just start, like, going off on that, like, that jumping off point. I think it's so much just, there's so much potential there. There's so much spark all the time. So it's really fun kind of stoking the imagination for authors and being able to be the first person to read something. I'm starting to get tired of being able to like gush about stories that aren't out yet. Cause I'm like, I want to gush about stories that are out. I want to like, I don't read as much for fun. So I can't like gush about the stories that are already published that I'm reading. So I'm just like, everything I gush about is just a manuscript on my computer right now. But it's just so much fun working with authors in that way. I think that's probably one of my favorite parts.
Oh, I love it. I recently, you know, I read an arc of a book that doesn't come out till Halloween, but I read it a few months ago, and I was just afterwards pacing my house. Like, my heart, my brain, everything was like too much. I was like, who? I can't.
Yeah, like, you're like, literally, there's no one to gush about this over. It's like if you see a show and none of your friends have seen it, and you just have to talk to somebody about it.
Yeah. So I was telling my husband about it. I was like ranting and raving. He's like, what is happening? What's going on? Are you okay? I'm like, I'm not okay. This book just destroyed me.
I do that to my partner all the time because he doesn't read at all. So I'm just like rambling. And he's like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. That's my husband. He's not a reader. So sometimes he tries his best to listen, but I'm like, that is a fun part about it, but it's also hard when you can't have other people to understand what you're needing to talk about. So, Caitlin, let's talk about queries a little bit. So, you know, there's rules of thumb for what your query should be. So do you feel like queries need to stick to that specified formula, not necessarily like your agency's guideline submissions? Because, of course, that should be followed. But, you know, the the basic rule of your query not being like super outlandish and being in a certain word count, having a certain order. What are your thoughts?
I think there's room for navigation. Like, I don't think every query has to be cookie cutter, has to be very obvious, but I do feel like there's certain things you need to like give me. Like some agents, mm-hmm. like myself, I prefer all the metadata at the beginning where I get the title, I get the word count, I get the genre, because I'm like yeah. prepared for what I'm supposed to be diving into. Other agents want to jump right into your pitch. So like there's wiggle room on how you want to format it or how you want to greet the agent as you write to them. But we definitely need that metadata and we definitely need to know certain points of your story. Otherwise, I'm just going to be like, I don't have any idea what this book is about. And if I don't have any idea what the book is about, why am I going to go to the pages? So there's wiggle room. There's no set like you should have this many words. Because people ask me, how many words should a query be? I'm like, I don't go by word.
Right.
I don't go by word. Yeah. I go maybe by like how many paragraphs are in it or something. Or I just say like, don't do more than one single space page. Just keep it brief and stuff, but it can have their own flair. That was a long answer to a short question.
Oh, hey, I think that's great. And the querying authors who are listening are loving it. You know, I think I think queries are something that I feel like authors just like kill themselves over. I feel that way. I'm terrible at writing queries. I will fully admit it. It's not my strong suit. Give me 80,000 words, I can bang it out. But make me narrow it down, and it's so hard. So, you know, I love asking these questions because I do think a lot of authors just, we sit there and we bang our heads on our keyboards like, oh my gosh, I'm so sick of writing this query. But, you know, I think it's good to know that there's a little bit of wiggle room. Obviously, you don't want to do crazy things with your query, but it's, you know, make it your story, make it you, and don't have it be just vibes. Have actual
yes we need some vibes but we need some story too. Like I can't yes. go off vibes alone. I can't go off comp titles alone. Like so many people think the synopsis is the hardest thing to write, and I think the query is the hardest thing to write, because the synopsis at least you the can query. Like list it all and somehow cut it down. Maybe the query, it's just like, no, it has to be there, right there, done. And that, and we like agents get that we have to write the pitch letters to editors, so very similar. So, like, we understand how difficult it is to take this ginormous work of art you've done and then be like, and three paragraphs. How do I do that?
Here you go. Yeah. Here you go. Fall in love with it, please.
All the please.
All the please. Well, what's your favorite thing to see in a query?
I love to see what's unique about the story. Like, what if it's next to a currently published book or the comparison title you're giving me? If it's sitting next to that, why would I pick that up over the other one? So, like, I love to see that just clear knowledge of your own book, because I can see the passion through it half the time. Is that if you know what's unique about yours, I can see how excited you are in your query. So I basically just tell people, like, give me who your character is in there, how they open the story. Give me the conflict that, like, pushes them out into your world or in your situation. And then just give me the consequences, like, what's at risk for them if they fail on what they're supposed to be doing? Why should I care about how they end? Because that's going to be your unique quality. What was the journey? Why should I care? What is this person to me? And so when they nail that, it's just so fun to read.
Oh yeah, I'm sure it pops out to you on the page too, I would imagine, when it's very clear and you can see it in your head, as opposed to sitting there being like, wait, what is this book about?
Exactly. They tell me all the themes and I'm like, I don't care about the themes. I want to know the story.
Yes. Yes. I skipped questions here, but I'm going to go back to the last one. What is your number one query no-no?
Insults of like any kind. Oh. Like, insulting other genres or age categories, like saying, you know, untalented people write YA and stuff, or they say that and I'm like, okay, well, I represent YA, so no. Or saying that, like, saying that they're like the best of the best, they're the next like Lord of the Rings or something, and I'm like, that's a really big thing to measure yourself up to, for one.
Very.
And then insulting the agents, obviously, like saying, well, I bet you're never going to read this anyway. So I'm like, well, then I won't. If you say that to me, then I won't read it. Okay. But on the flip side, insulting yourself, I think, too, like when it's self-deprecating, It's like, I know I don't know anything about this, or I don't really know how to write a query. I'm like, well, you're querying, so kudos. That means you've finished something. Like, you finished a book somehow.
Yeah.
You can research writing a query. You can figure it out. So, like, self-deprecating, I feel like, is already limiting yourself in the query. So I always tell people, don't put yourself down in your own query, because it's the first introduction to me. So I'm immediately going to see someone who is not confident in themselves. And it's fine if you're insecure or you're not confident. I'm insecure all the time. But I'm not going to, in a business letter, say, like, hey, I don't believe in myself.
Right.
Like, because for all you know, right. that could it put a damper on the pitch already. And we want to start just with believing in your story, because that's what we're here for. We're here to find those stories. So, yeah, insulting yourself is a big no-no, just because, like, you're better than that. You don't need to put that first foot forward.
No, and I think it's a good reminder. I mean, it is a business letter. It's a start of a business relationship. If you were in a job interview, would you say that,
exactly.
Right?
Like, I'm not. I'm not giving the hiring manager, like, a list of all my faults.
No, that would be bad. So last querying question, what like tips or golden rules do you want to share with querying authors?
Follow the guidelines, as we said earlier. That's always number one, because again, some people say they like something first. Some people like it at the end of it. Some people like comparison titles. Some people don't. I personally hate comparison titles because they're so difficult.
Oh, you do?
I think they're so difficult, and they still half the time don't tell me anything. They're the vibes to me. They're the vibes. So if they're not there, I'm not mad. But when we send it to an editor, we have to get those comps. So they are necessary. Yeah. I get them. But also some people will put comparison titles, but they won't tell me what from that book they're pulling out. And I think the strongest ones are like, if you're giving me a title, what theme in it are you drawing from? Are you coming from the voice of an author? Like, I don't want to just see it's, I don't know why I'm on a Lord of the Rings kick, but it's like Lord of the Rings meets the Lake House. And I'm like, how the heck?
Right.
There's a thousand things I could think up there. So I love when it's particular. So golden rule is like, if you're going to use comparison titles, like tell me what from that comparison title you're drawing from. And I had another one. Don't make your bio bigger than your pitch. I see it a lot really, from people who have publishing credits. Obviously, if you don't have publishing credits or don't have a lot, still give me your bio, because you can say, like, I have a cat and a goldfish named Daisy or something, and I'm happy to see it.
Right.
So don't not put a bio. But if you have that many credits and you have that much success and stuff, like, pick a few out, and then you can just say, like, and other various publishing credits or something. Because I've seen bios sometimes that are, like, I don't even know, like, 20 sentences long or something, and I'm just...
Oh, my goodness.
I'm like, okay. Like, congrats, man, that's amazing. But I also, like, I really half the time skip the bio until I'm interested. Like, I'll go back and look at your bio if I want to. But half the time I'm skipping it. So don't make the bio that big, because it's going to distract from the pitch.
Yeah. And I bet you some people are trying to win over with the bio, right? Like, look at me. Yep. But, yes, congratulations.
Yep.
But let's see what you've got here, actually.
Yeah, I'm like, put your website link, like, right under your signature. So if I want to go see a bigger bio or something, I can go check you out.
Yeah, that's a very good rule of thumb. So we're through the querying process. You're interested in somebody. You've read the full. You're wanting to get on the call with them. What questions do you think that authors should be asking agents on that call?
I have a whole, like, PowerPoint on this, actually.
Oh, I love it.
So I'll pick the top highlights. But always ask what edits they're looking for. Because you don't want to partner with somebody and assume one thing, and then you start working with them and realize they want to change something incredibly significant, and you don't agree with that edit. So always discuss the edits, because I sometimes wait when I'm an offer call. I don't offer until I'm halfway through the call, because I want to see if we vibe. If I say an edit and they're really not down for it, I'll be like, okay, I need to decide if that's an edit I can live with not having, or are they going to be better off with an agent who doesn't see that as needing to be changed? Right. So they definitely need to ask about that. But always ask what kind of contract they have, too, and if they are willing to send a blank contract, a sample contract. Because there's different types of agent contracts. I don't think a lot of authors realize there's a by-book contract, and then there's a by-career contract. And it can go either way. Both have pros and cons. Both still have the exact same rights in, like, if I sign you for this book and you give me an idea for the next book, I still have the right to say, no, I don't want it. So they're very similar, but they also are different in what you can do with your own works after this one. So, and always ask for a sample, because you want to make sure you can look at the clauses, make sure there's no weird, like, if the agent leaves the industry, does the agency, like, keep the rights forever, or keep the rights for like 6 months before you can query again. Like, there's so many different things. So always, always ask for that. And always ask if the agent is open to you writing in different genres or different age categories. Cause some people, they like their lane. They love being like, say, middle grade. They just want to do middle grade forever and ever. Others, they want to do middle grade. They want to do adult. They want to do fantasy. They want to do contemporary. So ask them what they are willing to do. And if they don't represent something, are they willing to either rep you for a certain pocket of stuff and another agent can rep you for another pocket, or how do they handle that situation? Because I'm seeing more and more with authors, they're dabbling in everything else. It's not like back in the day where you just stuck to one thing because there was no internet. No one could follow you if you flipped from different genres. Nowadays, you can write anything. And the audience can follow you wherever you go. So I see more and more authors, they're writing more and more different things, especially now that we have, you know, option clauses and non-compete clauses and all that fun stuff. But that's something that I would ask every time, because you should know if your career is going to be limited once you sign with that person.
Oh, I think those are great things to remember. I've never had an agent say to request to see a sample contract. I think that's awesome. I've never even thought about that.
Always. Like, agents should do the same thing when they're going to work for an agency. Like, we should always look at it to see what's going to be expected of us. And, I mean, we do it for publishers. So in my brain, I'm like, why would you not want to do that? Like, and you're also going to be asking to talk to a couple of their clients just to see what it's like working with them. So I would want to know before I accept the offer and tell every other agent, like, hey, I've already got somebody, I'd want to see that contract. Because if the contract sucks and you've already told every other agent, hey, I'm signing with this other person,
right,
you could ruin your chances.
Yeah, that's then hard to go back and be like, just kidding.
Yeah, this didn't work. You don't want them to think you were lying, because, I mean, nine times out of ten, they weren't lying.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, those are good things to remember. So I've just got a couple questions left for you. I'd love to know what you are looking for. What are you most excited about representing
next? I think right now I'm really digging the horror suspense era. I'm loving how big it's gotten. I'm loving how booming it's been lately. All the editors are asking for it. I didn't think I'd like suspense as much as I do. And I'm really, really getting into it. And mostly right now I have like middle grade horror. I don't really have any YA or adult and stuff like, well, I have one adult author. She has a whole suspense gothic thing going. So I've got that, but like, I feel like I have a bunch of holes in that section. So I'm really interested in finding more on that, and definitely like YA suspense. My list is very light in YA, surprisingly. And I'm really looking for more suspense and things like, you know, Yellow Jackets and all of these kinds of psychological. I'm not a gore person. Like, I watch horror, but I'm not a gore person. I'm really into stuff like Haunting of Hill House, but there's definitely some gore in that stuff. Especially with
It wasn't too gory. It was just terrible.
Yeah, House of Usher, now that's going to be extremely gory. That's not probably on my list. I'll watch it, but I don't want to read it. But so that's kind of where I think I'm gravitating toward right now.
Oh, that sounds exciting. Well, I hope you get some in your query inbox to go through. And my last question is easy. It sounds really hard, but it's not. I would love to know what your favorite book is right now, not your favorite book of all time, just something you've read recently, or two or three somethings that you'd like for everybody else to know about.
I mean, I'm always and forever going to love Inkheart. I know you said not our favorite of all time, but...
Well, you can share your favorite of all time if you have it.
Like, I'm definitely going to love Inkheart forever because I grew up with Inkheart, and Cornelia Funke is just amazing. And the way she writes fantasy is just fabulous. But I think right now I'm still stuck on The Thing About Jellyfish. this middle grade contemporary that deals with how to handle grief and the concept of death for a little girl who just lost another child in her life. It's a soft story. That's the thing. It's quiet. And we always seem to be saying, don't write quiet novels and stuff. But I feel like those are the ones that stick with me the most. So that one's probably the forefront. I am about to start reading, cross fingers that I like make the time finally. Witchlings by Clarabelle Ortega. Because I've been meaning to read them forever. And I haven't had it. And I was in this little bookstore and I saw it there and on sale. And I was like, yes, I'm going to get it. So yes. I have it.
Meant to be.
So that's my next one. So I'm excited to read that one. I'm hoping that'll like get added to one of the top favorites.
Oh, I love it. I usually don't try to make people tell me their favorite book of all time because everybody's like, panic in their face. That's why I try to like, calm down. It's okay. Just something recent. Well, Caitlin, this has been a blast, and thank you so much for letting me, you know, pick your brain, learn more about you. I have had a lot of people who listen to this then, you know, be able to query the agents on this podcast with a little bit more oomph, a little bit more connection. And so that's always my goal, and just to help us demystify like the mythical creature that is the literary agent at times.
Yeah, the person sitting at home like in pajamas, just the dog in their lap looking at stuff. Yeah. We're very, very mystical, very ethereal.
It feels very mystical, but this is, you know, it's helpful to just be like, you're a real person too.
Exactly. And my box is currently closed, but I'm hoping to open back up in like January, February, just take the rest of the year. I have like 6 client manuscripts I have to read now. So I needed to step back for a second, but yeah, in the new year, I am so ready for all of that. And I'm excited to see what it holds.
Yes. And people have a little bit of time to polish everything up before sending it to you in the new year.
Exactly.
Well, thank you so much, Caitlin. This has been a blast.
Thank you so much. I had a great time.